the rest of the story. Many of the men had been gone from their homes on the northeast coast of Japan that day and returned that evening utterly unaware that anything remarkable had occurred. What had in fact occurred was virtually indescribable. Every house was gone. Every house was gone. No sign of life anywhere. And everything everywhere was wet, wet with ocean water. In what had been the streets lay dead fish. Along the shoreline, human corpses bobbed in the brine like wine corks. One party of astonished discoverers was greeted by an old man stumbling across the soggy landscape. "Tsunami," he exclaimed over and over. "Tsunami! Tsunami!" And that one word told it all. The coast had been hit by what is colloquially called a tidal wave. This one in particular, 100 feet high. It had obliterated 10,000 homes, took 27,000 lives. It had struck at the height of a Shinto festival, during which many were gathered on the beaches. The last sight they beheld was recalled by a handful of terrified survivors. At first it seemed as though the sea were ebbing from the shore. And indeed, for long, curious moments, reefs and sea life lay exposed on what had been the ocean floor. But then everyone looked up to see the advancing wall of water that appeared to stretch out forever in both directions along the coast. And the wall rose higher and higher still, and then with a burst of incredible speed, it rolled forward over the naked seabed, and it crashed into the coast, inundating it. That was the great tsunami of June 15, 1896. And even though modern seismology can detect the earthquakes at sea, which trigger such, we remain virtually as vulnerable today as we were in days gone by. The biggest on record struck Valdez, Alaska in March of 1964. The earthquake that spawned it measured 8.5 on the Richter, less powerful than the horrific Indian Ocean quake of December 2004, but the Alaskan wave was 220 feet high. And yet, despite the awesome appearance and destructive capability of so-called tsunami, there is something ultimately insidious about them. They fly across the ocean surface with terrifying speed, between 400 and 500 miles an hour. So how had they been sneaking up on us for centuries? Well, the answer lies in something that happened during the Japanese disaster you've just relived. For the men who came home to find home gone were not hunters journeying from the hills back to the coast. They were fishermen returning from a day at sea. But they had no way of knowing what had happened, even though the tidal wave had passed directly under their fishing boats. Because, you see, traveling in the open ocean even hundreds of miles an hour at tsunami is unlikely to attract much attention, and the cataclysm of June 1896 was no exception, in that until the tidal wave reached the shallow water near land, it had raced across the sea, towering 12 inches high. Now you know the rest of the story.